Good evening again. I know that I have a tendency at times of speaking a little fast, and what I forgot to tell you at the beginning of the week is get your pen and paper out and write down some things as we go. It'll help you retain what God wants you to retain. I do that in every church service. I try to listen and write at the same time because I don't get it all when it's happening. So I get time to think about it afterwards. So bless you for coming out tonight again. I hope you didn't come here tonight just because you feel like you have to. I trust you're here because you want to be. And could I have a few more songbooks up here, please? I need to about maybe four more, if we could. Not that I'm going to sing that much, but thank you very much. Tonight we're going to, the title of the message tonight is Pardon or Fair Trial, which do you want? What does the word pardon mean? If someone pardons you, what does that mean? Anyone? Forgive you of a debt that you owe, a little deeper than that, that you cannot pay. That's impossible to pay. It's pardon. So tonight and all through our life, we have this choice to allow God to pardon us or be okay with a fair trial. Which would you want? The fair trial sound okay? Kind of not. We'll talk about that tonight. We're going to read a few verses and we'll plunge into the message. If you would turn to Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7. We're just going to read these verses basically to go across them. And then we're going to go into the message. Isaiah 55, verse 6 and 7 says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Now, I want you to note here a little bit. It's a little more, it's like the Holy Spirit had to write down an adverb there to emphasize the pardon that God wants to hand to you. Every time the United States of America changes a president, like in 2024, is the election year, when President Biden goes out, if he does not win in November, he has from November until January of the inauguration day of January 20 to pardon any prisoner in the United States that he pleases to do so. And when he pardons that prisoner, the jailer will take a slip of paper to him from the United States government, and that man can walk out free. And he has those few months to do that. But if the prisoner does not receive the pardon, it's not his, and he stays there. So this is what we're talking about when pardon, this is what pardon means, and God will abundantly pardon. And today, all humanity is in need of being pardoned. And we'll talk about why that is for, but turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 5, just a few pages over. Verse 1, just pick a verse out there, it says, "Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if you can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh truth, I will pardon that person. Seeketh truth. Now we're going to go on to just a couple verses. And what the message is about tonight is not so much is your name written in the book of life, but is your name blotted out? And we're going to talk about that, but we live in today, we are called to have our transgressions blotted out. And the blotting out agent or the blotting out substance that God uses is nothing less or nothing more than the blood of Jesus. We agree with that? That's what blots out our transgression. He didn't just prick the tip of his finger and squeeze out a drop of blood. And we sing sometimes, just one drop, but that's not what it took. It took all of his blood for you and all of his blood for me. He shed his blood, the innocent, the just for the unjust. At Psalm 69, we're just going to scroll through the scriptures a bit. Psalm 69, verse 28. I don't want to read these too fast until you get there. Psalm 69, verse 28 goes like this. It says, let them, we'll actually do 27. Add iniquity unto their iniquity, and let them not come into righteousness. And this is talking about the Jewish people. He's talking to, David says this. He's telling David this. Let them be blotted out of the book of the living and not written with the righteous. Now turn back to, he says, let not their transgressions be blotted out. And we have to, again, I'm not leaving in its context. I'm just bringing a few verses out. Isaiah chapter 43. We have a couple more verses there. This talks about, again, about this is actually talking about the church. Chapter 43, verse 24 says, thou hast brought me no sweet cane with money, neither hast thou filled me with the fat of thy sacrifices, but thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. Thou hast wearied me with thine iniquities. The Lord is telling the church this. And then he says, I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions with mine own, for my own sake, and will not remember thy sins. Put me in remembrance, and let us plead together. This is our calling today. Now we're gonna jump in for a little bit, a few scriptures, in Exodus verse 32 or chapter 32. I think also verse 32. In Exodus 32, we have here where the Lord told Moses basically to stand back. He said, I'm going to annihilate this people. They have the same as Numbers 14. They have tempted me these 10 times, and I will give you a group of people that will adhere to my calling. And this is Moses' response. He says, and it came to pass, on verse 30 of Exodus 32, on the morrow that Moses said unto the people, you have sinned a great sin, and now I will go up unto the Lord peradventure. Maybe I shall make an atonement for your sin. And here's what Moses went up to the Lord, and I want you to listen to this. And Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, this people have sinned a great sin and have made them gods of gold. Yet now, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, Moses said, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book which thou hast written. This is a tremendous passage for leaders of the congregation to read. Here was Moses and said, if you're gonna annihilate this people, take my name out of the book which you have written. And I want you to think about that. But then God said, therefore, the Lord said in verse 33, said unto Moses, whosoever hath sinned against me, him will I blot out of my book. And today, brothers and sisters, we are here tonight, and I trust that your transgressions have been blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. If not, we're going to talk about what you're headed for if you pass on from this life with your sins still on the record book of God. And I have a lot of little books here, and I can tell you today that God has books in heaven, and he's keeping records. According to the word of God, he has record of me, he has record of you. He has record of what you thought about today, what your motive was today, what you did, what you said. I can assure you is written down in the books. Okay? That's why it's necessary that each evening when we go to bed is bring yourself before the judgment throne of God and judge yourself according to the scriptures and get your things current before you go to sleep. As a Christian, this is our way of keeping current with God. And these things, we're going to turn to Revelation chapter 20 for our text tonight. And before we go into that, I just want to share a few thoughts on this. How many of you here tonight have ever thought about coming before judgment? Do you believe that'll happen? And you're right. But there are, and I don't know what you think about tonight when you think about judgment. I don't know what you think about. Do you think about a great white throne judgment? Do you think about the sheep and the goats or the judgment of nations in Matthew 25? Or do you think about the judgment seat of Christ in 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Now, I want to tell you tonight that there are people that culminate this all together as if believers will face the same thing as unbelievers. If you're here tonight as a believer and you are a follower of Jesus Christ, that makes you a member of the bride of Christ. You are making ready to meet the bridegroom. And what we spoke the other night, and then therefore every believer that is in the family of God as brothers and sisters in Christ, and God is your father and you are his child, and you are adhering to his word, and what you're waiting on is the appearing in the clouds that Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Because when he appears there, the church, the bride, or the wife of Christ will rise up to meet him in the air, and the first thing that happens, each one of us will pass before the judgment seat of Christ to receive our reward, what we have done in this body. These rewards that we receive there, they are not a gift. Anytime somebody rewards you something, it is because of what you have done as a service in the kingdom of God. And we're not here to talk about that tonight, but that judgment there is that's the first one that I want to mention. And the second one is in Matthew 25, and I'm not going to explain that one tonight, because of lack of time, but that's another time and another place. And that's where he is as a shepherd, and he is judging the nations for the way they have used his brethren, the Jews, whether they will be set on the right side or on the left side. So we're going to leave that one there, but we're going to move back here to Revelation chapter 20 on the very last judgment that it will ever occur. And here is where you're going to find, now the rapture of the church has happened. The church has gone past the judgment seat of Christ. We have now been through the marriage supper of the Lamb. He has returned on earth. He has smote the nations that have that have not believed in him, the beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire. The devil has been put in the bottomless pit, bound with chains. The thousand-year reign is past. He's loosed again, and all this is past. Now we're going to move all the way to the end of time. In verse 11 of chapter 20, this is what John saw. And I want you to pay close attention here. In these verses from 11 to 15, these people that come to this judgment are coming to a fair trial. They are not coming to see if they're saved. They died without Christ. They went to a Christless grave. And I can tell you, according to the scriptures, that the vast majority of humanity, many will go in and die in that way without knowing the Lord. You may say, well, let's just read this passage. Verse 11 in chapter 20, and I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. When you read about the dead here, you're reading about those who died dead in the spirit. They died lifeless in the spirit. They were never born again. They never received the kingdom of God. They were outside. They decided to raise something else up higher than the blood of Jesus Christ and cling to something that they adhered to and hoping for the best. This is what, and I saw those dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. All of the books, the record books was opened. And then he said, and another book was opened. The book of life was opened. And it said here, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. I can tell you, brothers and sisters, if I die tonight, I will need a representative. I will need an advocate. I will need someone to present me before the throne of God, an in-between, and there is only one person that's one, what I'll call him a person. Jesus Christ is the one that must take you and present you before the Father and tell you, here, Father, is one more of mine. Without him between, I am standing before the throne of God all alone to represent myself. I will not make it. And neither will you. No one. Here is where no one stands alone. Here is where no one stands alone. He says here, and they were judged out of the things which were written according to their works, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And brothers and sisters, I don't know. It is interesting to me that the culture I come from, when it comes to the book of Revelation, they will tell you, don't read it because you get all messed up. Just kind of, or no, they'll say you can read it sometime, but just don't study it because it'll mess you all up. Now, sometimes in the vast amount of the Mennonite circles, sometimes most of the time I find that there's a few men in there that kind of like to explain it a little bit, well, we don't touch it too much. But for the most part, this is a book, it's very interesting to me, that is not much talked about, so everybody's kind of like afraid. But isn't it interesting? At the opening of the book, it says, whosoever, blessed is whosoever readeth of the words of this book and keepeth the things that are written in there. The only book in the Bible that tells you, blessed are you if you read it. Wow. Remember, this week we're talking about the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's what this book wants to do, reveal him to you. In this book, he's no longer that baby in the manger. He's no longer that man on the cross. He's no longer that little boy walking around in Nazareth. He's not no longer that 12-year-old boy listening to Joseph and Mary. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. First off, I'd like to break this down just a little bit. What John saw was a great white throne, power and purity. I don't know what it's like. I know he lacked vocabulary to explain this, and even if he had it, he couldn't have. But from him that sat on it, it says, from his face, heaven and earth disintegrated. That's power. And you want a fair trial? You're going to try to stand there and explain your way through this? I hear people say, I've dealt with God in this matter. I had a neighbor that I talked to not too long ago, and he said, you know what? And he's divorced, and his wife is, he hates his former wife. He makes comments like, if I could have her shot, I would get it done. And I just shared with him, I said, my friend, I said, you have to forgive her. He'll make statements like, you know, if it means going to hell, I'll go to hell. I will never forgive her. And then I said, well, I told him, well, my friend, I said, I called his name. I said, you know, that's not going to work. He said, look, he said, when I get to heaven, me and God's going to sit down and have a little coffee together, and I'm going to explain this. That is the way people are looking at this. We had a rock concert about a year ago in the Coliseum there in Fort Wayne. Don't know much about them except the title of who their name is, the Lamb of God. And I watched just a little clip of it, and it's portraying the whole theme is the parties that we're going to have in these flames. Brothers and sisters, I trust you know better than that tonight. But here we have, it says, and I saw the dead, both small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And the books were opened. And I'm going to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10 just a bit to pick up a verse there. verses 28 and 29. It says here that he that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. He said, of how much sore punishment suppose you shall he be thought worthy who hath trod underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. The peril of dishonoring Christ, the danger of counting the blood of the covenant that was designed to wash you clean, that was designed to set you apart, to sanctify you, to raise you up, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That blood that was applied, and we and all of our life, we reject that. We refuse it. We say, no, I won't go there. Or maybe I go through the motions of becoming a member in the church and I become baptized, but all for many years, there's an area of my life that nobody knows about, and I'm not going there, and neither am I going to let the Lord go there. Brothers and sisters, the God in heaven requires to have your whole heart. He wants to cleanse you, your whole spirit, your whole soul, and your whole body. But the devil is satisfied with the tip of your finger. So here we have people that have done despite to the Spirit of grace. They have taken the age of grace wherein we are right now. They have done despite to it. So the only thing that they leave for God to do, if he must remain faithful, So therefore, he can do nothing but judge them according to their works. And I tell you, brothers and sisters, I remember very clearly being raised in a setting like that, that I thought in my heart that I was going to appear before God, and I was hoping with all my might that my good is going to outweigh my bad, and he's going to tell me to come into heaven. Well, let's just suppose tonight that heaven can be obtained like that. Just for a moment, let's suppose that you can actually obtain getting to heaven by doing good things. So all of a sudden, what is the separating factor of man and God today will be right there in heaven if that be the case. Because I could come up to you and I could start telling you that I got here because I did this, this, and this. And you could think, well, I got here because I did this, this, and this. Look at pride abounding. Pride won't be there. This is a gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So here we have these people coming up here, and the books are opened. All these books are opened. I don't know. I'm just going to say each one of these books represents a person. And the books are opened. The record book is opened. And here is, first off, we have sitting on the seat, the judgment seat here, Jesus Christ at this point is not a savior, not a baby, not a little boy. He is the judge. All judgment has been given, all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. The very creator, the one who was designed to save you, desired that even though, and today, this is the way I believe, and I may be kind of wrong, but there was a day, I think it's in John chapter 2, at the end of John chapter 2, there was Andrew. He was this guy, he was a disciple that would always go to somebody and tell them, come and see. Look if this is not the right one. Look if this is not the Messiah. And he went to Nathanael that day, and he said, come and see. Well, he said, well, who am I going to look at? Well, this guy out of Nazareth. And Nathanael goes, what good can come out of Nazareth? Well, he said, just come and see. So Nathanael goes with him, and he barely gets into the sight of Jesus, and Jesus says something like this, an Israelite, in whom there is no guile. Nathanael said, well, how do you know me? Oh, I saw you under the fig tree over there when you was reading. Oh, you must be a prophet. And this is what he tells Nathanael, and he said, and I'm just going to read it to you. You don't have to turn there, but it's interesting. He tells Nathanael, you think this is great, but he says, greater things than these you shall see. He says, because I saw you under a fig tree, thou believest thou shalt see greater things than these. And then he says this, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. When Jacob had his dream of the ladder, the Bible also tells us that he saw angels ascending and descending. Now there's a reason here that it's written in that order. So if these angels ascend first, where are they now? Sometime. But there, and this is what I believe. I believe that each one of us here tonight, we have an angel assigned to us. And today, this is my vision. It might be my opinion. I don't know. But your angel and my angel went up and wrote down, came back down, went up, wrote down, came back down, ascending and descending. Each church, each local assembly has an angel of the Lord doing the same thing. What happened in the book of Revelations? The message came to the angel of the Lord brought the message to the church, what the condition of the church was. And I always like in those seven churches, it always started out, I know thy works. And I don't, it doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter what your last name is. It doesn't matter what denomination you're from here tonight. God knows your works. He knows what happened today. And it's all recorded here. And here we have a man that I don't have much written in these books at all, if I can find one of them. Here we have a man that's coming before the seat of before the great white throne judgment. He done despite to the spirit of grace. His transgressions are not blotted out. They're all written out here. And he's hoping that the good ones are gonna outweigh the bad ones. And the only thing that he's going to hear is take him away and cast him into the lake of fire. This is, remember here, and you say, well then what? If none of these are saved here at this great white throne judgment, why then is the book of life here? And that's interesting to me because, brothers and sisters, tonight we sit here and I trust tonight that he can open up today your record book, and it looks like your names, your transgressions are blotted out by the blood of Jesus. Your transgressions are blotted out. He remembers them no more. And that today, as you sit here tonight, that you are current with God. That you are current with God, nothing is lacking, and that you have brought your life today or before you go to sleep tonight to bring it current, that once again he can blot out your transgressions. He is sitting at your right, at the right hand of God, blotting out our transgressions as we speak as believers. Well, I got this bigger book here, and I'm going to call this the Book of Life. And the Book of Life here, back and here's where we want our names written in here. But here's the book that Moses said, if you're going to destroy the children of Israel, blot my name out of the book which you have written. I don't know, and I'm not here tonight to tell you when your name is written in the Book of Life. I have my thoughts about that, but I'll just leave that. But the fact is here that here. We have at least a twofold judgment going on here. So what happens? Number one, this person's name, none of his sins are blotted out. They're all on record, and they're all out in the open. God can still read them. He didn't take care of them. He didn't deal with them. So he's judging him according to his works. So that's one part of the twofold judgment. And now God will take out the Book of Life, and he'll look at the Book of Life, and he'll look for his name, and as he pages through his name, he finds this. He's looking for his name, and he finds that the very blood of Jesus that was designed to cover his transgressions is now judging against him. By the same blood of Christ, his name is now blotted out of the Book of Life. It is just like, brothers and sisters, that just like in the days of Noah, the same water that floated Noah up here and his family drowned the world, right? The same blood of Jesus that's designed here tonight to save you, if you refuse and reject him or turn away from him or keep parts of your life hid from him, he has no choice but to take the same blood and blot your name out of the Book of Life. And this is what you're going to find. You see the twofold judgment against his people. I can tell you there are people that think they're going to say this to God and do this to God. They will be speechless. They will say nothing. And the only experience they have is this great white throne, this voice speaking to them, and then an angel picking them up, carrying them out to the everlasting cliff of the lake of fire and throwing them over. Which burneth forever and ever. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is a second death. You have an opportunity today to have life today and die once. or live twice. You can live twice and die once, or live once and die twice. This second death is not talking about like we have a body at a funeral. The second death it's talking about here is eternal separation from God. And tonight, brothers and sisters, we have this choice. We have this choice, and I trust that every one of you here tonight, that you have your name written in the book of life, that you are current with God. But I will tell you, I'm gonna give you an opportunity tonight. I'm gonna give an altar call for you tonight to make things right tonight before God and maybe a few witnesses. Now you sit here and we think, well, you know, and you've been here a couple of weeks now. You have nothing to be ashamed of, and I trust by now that you know that there is none here that is better than the other. Right? None is more than the other. None. We are all on this journey together, and I just want to make that known. And I'm going to close out tonight. Will you allow God to pardon your sins completely clean, that you have a clear slate, that you know this, or will you wait for a fair trial? We just read what a fair trial is going to look like. If we do despite to the Spirit of grace, God has no choice but to judge us according to our works, and we are doomed. We're never going to make it. I'm going to read you a couple of verses in the first John chapter 1, the Gospel of John chapter 1. And tonight, the call is, and I would like for any of you young men that would like to answer the call, go back to that room 309, and some of the men in the back there will meet you. They'll be glad to meet you and walk you through whatever is hindering your walk with God. And I'm going to tell you, It is time that you get serious with God. If you want to walk a life in the power of the Holy Spirit, don't leave this Bible study the way you come. And now you say, well, how do you know me? No, I'm not challenging. The Word of God challenges us, but I know that God wants to change you. Maybe He has already changed you. Maybe you've dealt with it. But if not, tonight's an opportunity. You sisters, there's also the same for you. This room right around the corner here, go to that room, and my wife and some other sisters will meet you back there. Walk through these things. Don't allow, and there may be some things that you, whatever it is, get it out of your, make so your mind is renewed, your heart is clean. The blood of Jesus is designed to save us, but is also designed after we're saved, to continue to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as God moves you from one glory to glory, you read the Word of God, you understand what it says, you know that message is speaking to me, you apply that message to your life, and God moves you to the next glory. He got some more to reveal to you. That's what He wants to do. You're not where He wants you yet because you're still alive. You're still here. So God is dealing with you. Here's what He says in verse 12 of chapter 1 of John. But as many as receive Him, to them gave He power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born, not of blood, doesn't matter what your last name is, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And you read this, as many as receive Him. And brothers and sisters, that's deeper than believing. It's receiving Him. It's bringing Him. When we receive Christ, we receive the whole message of the gospel. And we apply it to our lives. We bring it in under His lordship and under His authority. And we walk there and we live there. So tonight, I'm going to close. One of the brothers can lead us in Just As I Am. And as the song is being sung, if you feel led, go to your places and somebody will meet you there. I will be open to talk to you afterwards if you so desire, but I don't need to hear what you have to say. You're doing business with God. God wants to hear from you. God wants to hear from you, and there's nothing to be ashamed of. We open this thing up, and I know it takes courage at times, but I can tell you, I will tell you this, anything that you share concerning sin, I can relate to. So let's have that song, and then I'll leave you. While the song is being sung, go to your places if you feel so led.